We do these cassette tapes, when we do these recordings to pass out to people, we don't usually name names. And that's really to protect the guilty. But in this case, we're going to go ahead and say who we've got in line. That's Rudy Solis. And we can say that name, Rudy, because Rudy is a top agent. In fact, Rudy Solis is usually knocking down anywhere from, what, 25 to 35,000 in a month, Rudy? Is that about right?
Right. 38 this month.
38 this month. And is that because... Is that because you're running 7 days a week and you're working 12 hours a day in the field?
3 days.
3 days in the field.
Incredible.
Okay. And so like this week, for example, just random week, right? Well, how much did you do this week?
11,600.
Okay. And so, oh, but Patrick, you just asked that because he had a good week. Well, what did you do last week?
13,500.
Okay, so we detect the trend here. So what we're going to do, if, and we're very fortunate to have Rudy doing this, and Rudy, thank you ahead of time, but all we want to do is find out, man, what's the man doing? Why is it that Rudy can knock down this kind of premium, and other agents, other good agents who are out in the field, you know, busting their butt, why can't they do it? And hopefully Rudy can shed some light on that. So this is where the National Geographic music comes in. And then let's get started. And Rudy, if you could kind of share with us, if you want to talk, just get right into the fun script, that's cool. But if you'd like to tell us, you know, what you were doing before you took on this system, you know, that might be helpful.
Okay. Well, as far as the phone call, what I was doing before is I was spending about 10 to 15 minutes on the phone trying to book an appointment. I'd get all the medical information, and I timed down hard. I mean, I'd ask for the check twice. What I mean by that is I'd go over telling them if I can, well, asking them if I can find something that fits your needs and your budget. I mean, well, if I don't even remember what I say since I haven't done it in a while, but it, the system before was if I can find something that fits your needs and your budget, then we're going to go ahead and write an application and collect the first check for the first month's premium. I'd actually ask them twice. I tie them down hard on the phone. What I'm doing now is very simple. My phone script goes like this, and I can do it in about 30 seconds. And it's just, hello, Patrick, this is Rudy Solis from the Mortgage Protection Center. I'm calling regarding the letter we mailed you concerning your mortgage with Wells Fargo. You mailed it back to me, and I received it today. I'm the agent that works your area. I can see you tomorrow at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock in the evening, which one works out best for you.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock, will your wife be there as well?
Yeah, she'll be there.
Okay. One other thing, Patrick, do you or your wife have any major medical conditions?
Nope.
Okay, no problem. See you there tomorrow at 7 o'clock.
Thanks, Rudy.
No problem. That's basically it. As far as the phone call.
Hey, listen, does that really happen? Do they really book that easily?
Most of them do. Most of them do. The common objections I get is, well, listen, can you just tell me the price? Like, when they ask me that, I'm a strong believer, and it doesn't matter what you say, it's how you say it. So I'm real calm with them. You know, I'm like, man, Patrick, don't worry about the price. I mean, I don't know what the price is going to be, but don't worry about the price. We have something for everyone. It doesn't matter what your budget is. We'll find something for you. We can get you covered. Simple. I mean, I don't go into. I've heard some rebuttals, and they go into my company doesn't allow this, and blah blah blah. I mean, you're just gonna piss them off. I mean, that's not gonna get you any closer to your client. If you're just calm and just tell them just like that, I feel it's a lot better. So that's what I've done.
Wow. Okay, now, let's say somebody listens to this recording and says, okay, I'm going to do that. And they get on the phone and they actually say the words that you just said. How many appointments can they expect to book in an evening of calling?
It depends how many phone calls you make. But in about an hour, I can book anywhere from 5 to 8 appointments. Just really depends if I catch them at home or if I can get them on the line.
Does it matter if the leads are, I mean, do they have to be fresh or can you use leads that are a month or 2 old? I mean, does this system only work with a certain kind of lead?
No, I mean, I would think you can use it with any one of the I mean, even if they're old, you can still use it. The only modification I make to the phone script whenever I'm calling older leads and I've already been trying to get a hold of them for a while, I don't say that we received their letter today. You know, on the part where you say, you know, I'm calling regarding the letter you mailed in. We mailed to you in reference to your mortgage with Wells Fargo. You mailed it back to me, and I didn't receive it today. I mean, obviously, I just say I received it. You know, I received it, and here I am. So it's basically how it works. That's the only modification I make on that as far as new leads and old leads.
Cool. Do you leave a voicemail if you get an answering machine?
I do not. I do not, because I don't want them to make a decision or judge me based on my voice. I mean, I don't know how I come across on the phone. Y'all are hearing
pretty
me
pretty much.
Now.
You come across like a guy who's going to make $500,000 to $1 million this year.
Well, I don't want them thinking that, though.
Okay. Now, let's say you're booking 6, 7, 8 appointments. You know, are these going to be over the next 6 days, one appointment a day? How do you generally work your calendar?
Not at all. The way I do it is if we can't book it tomorrow, then this is the way I go about it. You know, I'm like, Patrick, I can see you at 6 or 7. Which one works better? If I get an objection like, well, Rudy, you know, I can't meet you tomorrow, man. I've got all these things coming up and blah, 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 and all this good stuff. And one thing that I need to let them know is that, first of all, I mean, this does not take long. That's one thing. And the other thing that they need to know is that I can see them whenever they're ready. So, well, not whenever they're ready, but I'll usually tell them, okay, I'm out on the field. I'm out visiting clients or visiting, or I have appointments from noontime to about 11 o'clock at night. So, I mean, we can try to find something to fit your schedule. And this only takes about 10 or 15 minutes. A lot of people think, you know, they say, I don't have time or whatever, because they're thinking you only work from 8 to 5, or they really don't know what your schedule is. So, That's one thing that I do a lot. They say, well, Rudy, I'm kind of tied up. I say, well, you know, what time do you get home from work? And once they tell me what time they get home, 6, 7 o'clock, I say, okay, well, I can see you at 8 or 9. Which one works better? I always give them options. I never ask an open-ended question as far as can I see you tomorrow, or what time is best for you? Nothing like that. It's always two choices, two options. I'm gonna be out in your area. I'm gonna see you at 6 or 7. Which one works best? That doesn't work. Okay, what time do you get back from work? You get back at 7:30. Okay, perfect. I have an 8 o'clock and a 9 o'clock. Which one works better? That doesn't work. Okay, well then, when's the best day for you? I mean, I don't know when I'm gonna be out in your area again. And they say, well, Saturday. Even though I know I'm gonna be out Saturday, and I can see them Saturday. And they say they can see me at 8 o'clock in the morning Saturday, and I have an open slot at 8 o'clock in the morning Saturday, I still don't book it. I don't book it. Basically, what I do is I write down a little note on the lead saying that they want to see me at 8 o'clock in the morning, but I don't book it. I say, I don't know if I can fit you in my schedule, but I'll give you a call. I'll try to give you a call Friday, see if we can get together Saturday. I'm the surgeon. I saw him when I can see him.
All right, Dr. Rudy, you've called me on a number of Saturday evenings and said, well, I just finished my 9 appointments, my 10 appointments, my 8 appointments, and it always amazes me. In fact, Rudy, I got to tell you, I am stunned that your appointment schedule sounds like 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, I mean, you know, come on, man. What is your secret for making sure that you have zero holes in your calendar like that?
Well, the way I start off, like on a weekday, the way I start off is by saying, by giving them two options, and my two options are 6 and 7. Now, if I book at 7 o'clock, the next person I call, I'm gonna say I have a 6 and an 8. I try to keep them all together. I mean, if you have holes in your schedule, that's just wasting time. I mean, if I have a hole in my schedule, I'm probably going to go to McDonald's or Wendy's and just gain weight, you know? So I don't want to do that. I try to avoid holes, and that's how I do it. I mean, if I book a 7 o'clock, the next one I'm calling, I'm saying I have a 6 and an 8. I mean, I book at 6 o'clock, the next one I call, I said I have a 5 and an 8. And that's how I do it. And on weekends, works the same way. I start off by saying I have a 10 and an 11. And then that's how I go about it. Next one, if I book at 10 o'clock, next one I call, I have a 9 and an 11 o'clock available. So it's always kept together. It's never, I try to never have a hole. I try to avoid it. I do have holes every now and then, but I try to avoid them as much as I can.
It seems like the last 10 days that you've been out for appointments, if it's weekday, it has been at least five appointments for that day, for that evening. And if it's been a Saturday, it's been at least 8. Is this your typical week? I mean, how many appointments are you usually running? How many leads is it taking to do that?
My goal every week is to run at least 15 appointments. I'm thinking from 15 appointments, I should absolutely get at least 12 applications. But I try to run 15. But once I'm on the phone and I'm on a roll, I just write it. And I end up booking more than I really want to. My goal, actually, well, my schedule, what I actually want my Saturday schedule to be like is from like 9 to 2. I end up working like from 8 to 4. Or 8 to 5, or 9 to 5. Because I just get on a roll on the phone, it's just, I mean, I'm just booking appointment after appointment, and I just keep calling. I mean, I know that every appointment I set is more money in my pocket, so it's kind of like, you know, what am I going to do? I'll book them all. So if I tried, I could probably work all day Saturday. But I need an afternoon off, so that's the one I don't work, so.
Even doctors need a break. Okay, so when you're booking for Saturday, that means that your phone time, because we're still talking about the phone here mostly, your phone time is, according to your theory of only booking for the next day, you're on the phone Friday?
On the phone Friday.
People pick up the phone and you can talk to them on a Friday afternoon, Friday evening?
Yeah, down here in Texas, we have these phones that you can put in your pocket, in your shirt pocket, or in your pad pocket.
You mean like
I walk outside with them? No, I'm kidding, but yeah, I mean, I call them on their cell phone. That's the first place I try to get a hold of them on Fridays. Call them all on their cell phones. If they're not answering, call them on their work phone. I mean, they wrote it down. I'm going to call them. If they tell me they're busy, they can't talk to me, I'll let them decide. I mean, I'll talk to them.
Now, we're on a Wednesday right now, so you're usually in the field on Thursday, right? So were you booking appointments today?
Yes, I was.
And you, as I understand it, you gave all your leads out in your whole group to all your agents, so you didn't have any left for you this week, right?
I didn't take any fresh leads this week, no.
So you were working on older leads. You probably didn't get any appointments booked then, did you?
I still had my normal 6 for a weekday. It took me a little longer to book them. But I did book 6 appointments for tomorrow. The whole deal is, my goal is to book 6 appointments. I don't care if I'm on the phone 30 minutes or 3 hours, I'm going to book 6 appointments. So it took a little longer than usual, but I got 6. I've got 6 for tomorrow.
I don't know, Rudy. I think we had Michael Petrovich on the line earlier. If you could, would you mind going through your phone script again? It was so fast. Maybe if someone's listening to this tape, they went over a speed bump in the car and they missed it. Could you go through the script again? And then if Mike is still on the phone, maybe he's going to have some questions about it too.
Yeah. Hello, Mike. This is Rudy with the Mortgage Protection Group. I'm calling regarding the letter we mailed you concerning the mortgage with... you know, whatever company.
Okay.
You mailed it back to me. We received it today. I'm the agent that works your area, and I can meet you tomorrow at 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening. Which one works better for you?
Well, gosh, I think my daughter's got, like, ballet tomorrow at, I don't know, like at 5:30 or something, so I don't think my wife gets back until, like, 7.
Okay.
I really don't know, man.
Okay.
You just kind of caught me now, and, I'm just here at work. I don't even know, man. I had, you know, what, 4:30 here? I haven't, I don't know exactly what we're doing.
Okay. What time do you get out of work?
Well, I get out of work at 5.
What time are you usually home?
I'm usually home about 5:30, 5:40.
Okay. So usually about 6 or 7 is good for you, but just not tomorrow because your daughter has ballet? Is that what you said?
Yeah. She's got ballet at 5:30, and I think by the time my wife gets home, it's like, you know, 6:45 or 7 or whatever.
Okay. We work the evenings, Mike. I mean, I don't know. I'm out in the area usually about noon till about 10 o'clock at night. I can see you about 8 or 9. Which one works better for you?
Well, I guess I could do 8. I think so. I mean, I think, yeah.
Okay. Do you think your wife will be available?
I think she should be, yeah.
Okay. Because what happens here, Mike, is that basically we need to know whether your wife will be available or not. We have to explain it to both of y'all. And if it's something where you might think you won't be available, maybe we can move it to 9. Is 9 too late for you?
No, that's not too late. I think I can make sure she'll be there.
Okay. So 8 or 9?
Let's go ahead and let's do 8.
Okay. We'll see you there at 8 o'clock. One other thing, Mike. Do you or your wife have any major medical conditions?
A little bit of high cholesterol or high blood pressure or whatever, but nothing major.
Okay, no diabetes, cancer, strokes,
nothing? Oh, no.
Okay, no problem. We'll see you there tomorrow at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock tomorrow. Okay, we'll see you tomorrow.
No problem.
Bye-bye.
See you there.
Okay, so, all right, Rudy, and I haven't listened to everything you said, and know there's, you know, some people that are out there still thinking, it's like, but man, tell me again, you know, so what do you say to the people when they say that there's no way, or let's say you get down to, you've only got 2 times left, you know, say 3 o'clock and 9 o'clock, and no, let's say, you know, nobody's taking your 9 o'clock, or, you know, and that's all that's left, and they say, yeah, well, we can't meet that late ever, so what do you do?
I double book them. That's what I did today, actually, it happens to me frequently. I mean, I book my 6, 7, the hot times are like 6, 7, and 8. I mean, everybody wants to see me at 6, 7, or 8. And it's difficult to book the 9 o'clock. It's difficult to book a 5 and a 4. So, I mean, I can do it most of the times, but a lot of times I can't. And I do 2 different things. Either I double book, I book 2 at 6 o'clock, 2 at 7 o'clock, 2 at 8 o'clock, or I book them at 6 and 6:30, 7, 7:30, 8 and 8:30. And I also let them know I may be there a little early or a little late. So, I mean, out of 6 appointments, I'm probably going to sit down with 4. So out of those 4, if I see 4 and I've already told them that I can be there a little early or late, then that'll that'll be a good night, even though I couldn't book them when I wanted to book them.
Gotcha. Okay. That makes sense. And so let's come back to, let's just say you absolutely can't fit them in that. You know, let's say you reached a point where, okay, you've already double booked, you know, and there's nothing there. The person's just saying there's no way I can meet today. How do you leave it with them?
I say, okay, well, I don't know when I'm going to be in the area again. I think it's Saturday, Mike. Is Saturday usually good for you?
I think so. Yeah, it just depends, but typically we're around on Saturdays.
Okay. Okay, well, this is what I'll do then, Mike. I'm going to give you a call Friday, and we'll try to find some time to sit down on Saturday. How's that?
Okay, well, I think that'll work. Try and give me a buzz then, and we'll talk to you.
Okay, we'll talk to you Friday.
Okay.
I don't book anything more than the day out. I kind of just leave them with, I'm going to call them back, and a lot of them want to say, I'll call you back, but before I let them even say that, I'm telling them I'm going to call them back. I'm like, okay, well, you know, I mean, today's not good for you. Your husband's in Michigan. He's a truck driver. Okay, when is he going to be back? He'll be back next Wednesday? Okay. Well, I don't know what my week is like next week, but I'll see if I can call you on Wednesday, see if we can set something up for Thursday.
Okay. That's good. And I'll just, something else I've used here is I've said, well, especially if you're working in a remote area, or I think this works even if you're not working in a remote area, you say, well, gosh, you know what? My boss is the one that tells me where I need to go on different days of the week, and I'm not sure when I'm going to be back in this area or covering this, working this area. Even if it's your hometown, if you work a wide area, you can say.
Even if you're not. Even if you're not, I say that all the time. I say, I'm in this area, I don't know when I'm going to be back. And I say, well, aren't you calling me from a McGallen phone? I mean, which is our area, which is my area. I'm like, yeah, I said, I mean, I live here in McGallen, office is in McGallen, but we cover the whole South Texas area. I mean, I'm talking about Laredo, Corpus Christi, San Antonio, so I don't know when I'll be here.
Yeah, and I think that's important. I don't care if you live in, you know, Boston or Dallas or Miami or Tampa or L.A., just to say, well, listen, I don't know when I'm going to be in your area working again. You know, that's just,
right.
So they create that posture so they realize, oh, he works other areas besides just my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Rudy, I'm going to go through. I've written a little checklist down here of questions a lot of insurance agents will ask on the phone. And what I'm going to do, I just want to go through the list relatively rapid fire, and I want you to say yes or no. Do you ask these kind of questions on the phone? Do you understand what I'm saying, Rudy?
Sure.
Okay. When you're on the phone, do you ask them detailed medical health questions?
No.
Do you ask them if they're aware what the process is going to be when we get in their house?
No.
Do you ask them if they're going to be able to write you a check?
No.
Do you ask them what their occupation is?
No.
Do you ask them any information about their mortgage?
No.
Can you talk about their income?
No.
Do you ask them if they have any other insurance?
No.
Okay, now do you ever ask them directions to their house?
Only if it's like rural route 1, box 93A, something like that. I mean, if it's you know, 1316 Blue Jay Avenue, I mean, I can find that I can find that easily. But if it's you know, some crazy address, or if it's a P.O. box, I mean, I do ask them for their physical address, and that's about it. Only if I have to is the answer, I guess.
I'm wondering if somebody listening to this tape is going to think, well, this guy's impossible. There is no such person as Dr. Rudy Solis. There's no surgeon out there who's... Because if you don't have all those details, how can you possibly write insurance in the home? And I guess I'm segueing to the appointment, maybe before we do that, ask another question about the phone and see if Mike has anything else or anyone on this call. Booking appointments this fast, Rudy, and getting them off the phone this fast, don't you have a very high incidence of no-shows?
No. No, I mean, it's pretty much what my numbers were on the previous system. I mean, I'm sitting with about 75% of the people I book, anywhere from 2/3 to about 75% of the people I book on a given night of the appointments. So that's why I book 6. I expect to sit with 4. Sometimes I sit with 5, but I expect to sit with 4.
Guys, I mean, I think we're ready to get under the appointment.
Patrick, I want to throw out 2 other common objections that do come up on the phone that. Some agents are going to say, well, how do you handle this one? Because we haven't touched on them yet. And what if, you know, because somebody's inevitably going to say, well, tell me what the price is before I give you time. Can't you just tell me how much this costs, Rudy?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the price is. Mike, don't worry about the price. I mean, it doesn't matter what your budget is. We can get you covered. We have something for everyone.
Okay.
No, I can see you at 6 or 7, which one works best.
But, if I don't know the price, I don't know I want you coming over here. I mean, does it make sense for you to come over here if I don't know the price yet?
Yeah, basically this is a qualification process, and I don't know exactly what the price is. We're brokers. We deal with a number of insurance companies, and I can show you a number of different prices, number of different products. And just don't worry about the price, man. Whatever your budget is, we can handle it. I can see at 6 or 7, which one works best.
6 or 7, huh? Okay, well, let's try 7.
Right. See you there at 7. My whole thing, I don't have like a set rebuttal for anything. It's like, just be confident on the phone, one thing. And just believe that they want to see you. I mean, they sent this lead back. They must be interested in something. And then, I mean, it's not what you say. It's how you say it. I mean, I can say, well, my company doesn't allow it. My boss, I mean, I'm going to get fired. My boss is going to be yelling at me, screaming at me. He's going to kick me out the office. I mean, you can say things like that, but you might just piss them off. I mean, I try to remove the objection and get closer to the client, just like Philip Hudgens says. So that I don't know any other way to do it. Than, I mean, that's the way I do it. I mean, other ways can work, but that's the way I do it.
And I think the only other common objection, I don't know if we hit on yet, was just, you know, well, listen, I just need you to send me some information.
Okay, well, the information that that we sent you and you sent back, that's uh-huh. actually what we have to mail out. We don't have anything else. The next thing is to get you qualified, and I'm going to be out in your area tomorrow, and like I said, I can see you at 6 or 7.
Okay, so you mean there's nothing that you like, there's no brochures or something or anything like that?
I'll show you the program and everything. I'll explain your program tomorrow and get you qualified. But as far as me mailing anything else to you, I mean, the only thing we have to mail is what you already received and sent back to me. So which one works better, 6 or 7?
Well, let's go ahead and try the 7 then.
Okay. We'll see you there at 7. Is your wife going to be available as well?
Yeah, she's normally home there. She should be there.
Okay, no problem. One other thing. Do either one of you have any major medical conditions?
No, nothing major.
Okay, no problem. What do you mean major? I mean cancer, heart attack, stroke?
Yeah, nothing like that. Nothing
okay,
like that.
Okay, no problem. We'll see you there tomorrow at 7.
Okay, great.
Rudy, I get the feeling that if somebody walked up to you, like you could be in a dead sleep, and if someone tapped you on the shoulder and said, 7 o'clock, I think you would immediately say, okay, great, is your wife going to be there as well? It's like a robot. I'm sorry, Mike, go ahead.
No, I got one more question, one more objection I'm going to throw out. Let's say we got it booked, and on the major medical questions, ask me about the major medical one more time, Rudy.
Do you or your wife have any major medical questions? I mean, conditions?
Well, yeah, I had a heart attack. I don't even know if you guys can cover me, but I had a heart attack about 3 years ago and had you know, some bypasses and stuff like that.
Okay.
Artery replacement.
How long ago was your heart attack again?
It was about 3 years ago.
About 3 years ago? Okay. What about your husband? What about your wife?
Let's see, my wife, she's okay. I mean, she had a stroke 5 years ago, but outside of that, she's doing just fine.
Okay, we can get you covered. Have you been declined for insurance, Mike, you or your wife?
Oh, no. In fact, we've gotten lots of policies here lately.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you taken, like, medical exams, like they've drawn blood and...
Oh, no. You know, we've got some great policies from some companies like, you know, Globe Life and Veterans Life and some other great companies out there.
Okay. Well, we can find something for you. I mean, you will be rated, and by that I mean it's going to be a little bit higher than the standard policy, but we can work with you and we can get you covered. And I'll also review your policies that you currently have. Maybe we can find something better for you.
Okay. All right.
See you 6. I can see you there at 6 or 7, which one is better.
Okay. Of course, we already have the time. So, yeah, but yeah, hey, that's great. Yeah, we'll do it at 7 still. Okay. All right. I appreciate you working for us.
No problem. See you there tomorrow.
And then you're just confident that worst case scenario, you can do presidential life and you can maybe save them some money, letting them know that those accidental death policies they've got are junk. Mike, what was that? What's the condition that your agent uncovered? No, that you uncovered? Artery replacement surgery or something like
that? Yeah, I had an artery replaced.
Can you make your mark? Can you make your mark and are you not in a wheelchair?
Yeah, you can be in a wheelchair, just not a nursing home.
Oh, okay.
As long as the wheelchair resides at home. Hey, Rudy, do you ever get them to acknowledge that they sent in the lead?
No. No, I mean, I just assume that they know what I'm talking about when I say Mortgage Protection Center. You know, this is Rudy from the Mortgage Protection Center. Well, we received, I'm calling you regarding the letter you mailed back, and I just keep going. I just assume that they know what I'm talking about. I do run into some that are like, well, what are you talking about? I mean, and then I go back to, you know, I mean, it's a letter with your date of birth, height and weight, the fact that neither you or your wife smoke. And you know, do you know what the mortgage protection is? I mean, do you know what I'm talking about? No, I don't know what I don't know what you're talking about. Well, okay. Well, it's, if something happens to you or your wife, I mean, either one of you die, the house is paid off. I mean, it's got other benefits, but that's basically the bottom line. That's basically what it is. So, and then once I say that, a lot of people say, oh, yeah, that's what you're talking about. You're talking about the mortgage insurance. I'm like, yeah, mortgage insurance. So, that's one thing I run into. I don't know if I can think of any more that are common.
When you first started doing this looking this way, what kind of transition time, realistically, what kind of time, how many calls, how many appointments did you have to go through on the phone before you had kind of wholesale bought into this system of just book the stupid appointment?
It took me 2 days out on the field and 2 days on the phone. The first day I was out on the field, I did pretty good, but I mean, I thought it was a fluke, you know. I think I booked like 5 or 6 appointments. I think I booked 6 appointments and I closed like $4,000 in premium the first day I did the system. But I wasn't very good at it. I didn't think I was. I was messing up on stuff. I messed up on the presentation in the house. I mean, they kind of caught me off guard with some questions and stuff like that. But after I did it about 2 days, you're talking about, you know, 8 appointments maybe. Sat through about 6 to 8 appointments. I felt I really had it down. So, I mean, transition time was nothing. I still produced, but I just felt I wasn't doing my very best.
Man, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's time for everyone to get up and stretch because we just went through about 20 hours worth of training right there in about half an hour. I mean, is there anything else that, I mean, Mike, Rudy, anyone on this call listening, is there anything else that we're missing that needs to be addressed related to the phone call and booking these appointments?
Can I ask to hear just the phone call one more time since it's so quick?
Yeah.
Is that Carlos?
Yes, it is.
Hello, Carlos. This is Rudy Solis with the Mortgage Protection Group.
Hi, Rudy.
I'm calling regarding the letter you emailed you concerning your mortgage with Chase. You emailed it back to me. We received it today.
Yeah. Okay. That pink thing.
What's that?
That pink thing.
Yeah, that pink letter. You're right. Okay. I'm the agent that works your area. I can meet you tomorrow at 6 or 7. Which one works better for you?
Oh, boy. I have to check with my wife. I know my kids got basketball tomorrow.
Okay. What time are you usually home from work?
I usually get home around 5:30, 6 o'clock.
Okay. Same for your wife?
She's home earlier than that.
Okay, well, I can see you at 6 or 7. Which one works better?
I'd be safer if we did it a little bit later. I don't know how late you work.
Okay. 9, 10, 11. We work pretty much in the evenings when people are home.
Oh, okay.
So if we can do it later at 9 or 10, which one works better?
9 would work well.
Okay. See you there at 9.
Okay.
And one other thing, Carlos, do either you or your wife have any major medical conditions?
No.
Okay, we'll see you there at 9 o'clock tomorrow.
Thanks.
No problem. And I always notice that. I always say no problem, or I say okay, when they say thank you.
Instead of saying you're welcome.
Yeah, I never say you're welcome. I never say thank you. I've heard some agents on the phone booking appointments, and they say, you know, thank you, Carlos.
Sounds desperate.
Yeah, well, what are you thanking them for? You're going to take care of their situation. That's got to be your attitude, you know?
That's a good point.
They need you. So why do you thank them? It's hard. I mean, I'm not rude or anything. I thank people in everyday life kind of deal. But, I mean, in this situation, you don't need to thank them. I mean, that's got to be your attitude. They need you. You're the expert. You're the one that's going to help them protect their mortgage, and that's what they want. So they should be thanking you. It's hard. Even when you leave the appointment, sometimes I want to say thank you because I wrote like a $200 app or something. But I hold myself back and I say, I let them say, tell me thank you. I'm like, no problem. I'm glad I could help you out.
Cool. All right.
If the good doctor has got a few minutes here, I think this is a perfect time before we get into the appointment, Rudy, to, man, stretch our mind and let us know what's in store for the agent who takes this knowledge that you're giving us and applies it. You know, if we go out there and do what you're saying, and we work a bunch of leads, you know, what? Like, give us an example of a recent week that you've had where the numbers are pretty typical, how many appointments you got to sit down with, how many you closed, how many applications that turned out to be, how much premium you got, and, you know, I mean, you don't have to share with us your income, but I'd love to hear what kind of pace you're on for this year, and if you've got agents in your group, maybe any success stories there, too.
Right now, as far as production, a typical week for me is about 15 to 20 appointments. I sit down with about, I'd say 70%. So I probably sit down with about 14, 15 of them. And I expect to close maybe 12 for about 14, 15 apps. That's just the expectation. A typical week for me. As far as income, I'm on pace to make about $250,000 right now. And my agents, the average, I can actually check real quick.
Have you ever had anybody that in your group, I know you guys are closing in on $100,000 in this month. Your first, I don't think you've ever hit 50 before, and it looks like you're going to hit really close to maybe 90,000 something. Have you had agents you've talked to who just took off with it and kind of really almost surprised you with how easy it was for that agent to do that?
Yeah, I've got one agent, female agent. She's, I'm not going to say her name or anything. She's about, 5'2", weighs about 65 pounds. And before I taught her this system, she was, you know, she'd call me and she'd be like, oh, my God, Rudy, this, and that. And, I mean, a lot of situations, a lot of problems booking appointments with the old system. And I said, you know, I mean, this is what you need to do. So I taught her the system. And the whole deal, I mean, I'll back up a little. The whole reason why it took me a while to get my whole team on this system is because I kind of wanted to be the guinea pig. I wanted to see if I could do it. I didn't want to really, you know, just have, like, mass change and then everything would go wrong and then it'd be hard to change back. So I kind of did it first, and I saw that it worked, so I kind of switched everyone over to it. But she was booking maybe, on 10 leads, she was booking maybe 3 appointments and closing, like, 2 or 3 apps. This past week, she had about 7 appointments, and she closed, like, 7 applications. On those same 10 leads, I mean, I've only been giving her 10 leads every week, so. That's, I mean, she improved. She improved. That was a drastic improvement, in my eyes, in my view. 30% closing ratio to about 70% closing ratio. So, she's actually closing more, she's got a better care ratio than I do, which is a good thing.
Now, you mentioned, I'm not going to harp on the income, because I don't want you to be listening to this tape 3 months from now and cry that you said only $250,000 when really it's $500,000. I mean, it's so fluid. You're growing so fast. You're knocking all kinds of records down. And, you know, I want somebody to get the feeling. Is this somebody who always is used to making $250,000? You've been doing it for 20 years. So, you know, naturally that's the guy who's going to be able to do it with us. Or give us, you know, maybe share your background or at least, you know, where you were standing financially before.
Okay, well, I'll give you a little background. I mean, if I had been doing this for 20 years, that means I would have been 3 when I started. I'm only 23. I'm 23 years old. I have a bachelor's degree in business. I don't use it. It doesn't help. I mean, it helps me out a little bit, I'm not going to lie. But, I mean, as far as when I started with NAA, it was like I was going through, like, the worst time of my life financially. Emotionally, too. I started with the NAA in March of 2004, and it was bad. I mean, no electricity, no food, no nothing. I had been working with the previous company,
and I had been unemployed for about 3 months. And the last thing that happened was my dad passed away in December of 2003, and I used my last savings to help out with the funeral expenses. And that kind of did it for me. I mean, I didn't have any money January 04 and February 04 at all. I mean, no money. I mean, my car, I didn't have a very nice car at the time, and my car broke down, and I couldn't get around or anything like that. The only money I had, or it's not even money. I mean, I had a Discover card that was almost maxed out, and I had a Visa card that was almost maxed out, and that's what I lived on for 2 months. And then I had worked with another company. I don't want to say its name, but its initials are AIL, and I didn't make any money, and